Good morning, everybody. Thank you all so much for being here. What a blessing it is, really, to be here. And the blessing of being able to come together and worship like this really jumps out against last week, for example, when it was far too yucky and bad and dangerous. It wasn't just yucky and messy. It was dangerous for us to get out of our homes. And so we had to cancel last week's Sunday services. And I don't know about you, but the week just kind of felt a little different because of that. It was a very smart, wise, safe decision, but it let me know, let my family know how much we look forward to a worship service and how it just really kind of sets up the whole week for us. We're here today, and it's a real blessing for us. I hope that you feel the blessing of coming together and worshiping God in the freedom, in the comfort that we have here with God as the one that we direct this worship service to. It is a great, great benefit to our lives. I have a really amazing verse I want to look at with you this morning. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1. You can follow right along with us. James chapter 1, verse number 5 is that incredible verse, and we're going to take a look at it this morning. Looking at keyword after keyword after keyword, it is a very action-packed verse that we have a great privilege to be able to break down and apply to our lives today. James chapter 1, verse number 5. It is, as I'm sure you know, you probably have lots of people reminding you that it's gift-giving season. And there are folks who have long lists of things that they want. And in view of the gift-giving season, I thought it might be a bit fitting to look at James chapter 1, verse 5, which talks to us about giving gifts and being a gift-giver. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." God's going to be our first stop here in this verse. God is He is the great one. He is all-powerful. The Bible lets us know in Psalm 24, verse 1, Psalm 24, 1, that this world and everything in it belongs to God. So when we talk about God, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about the one who owns everything around you and us. The one that this world belongs to, the one who made the world, Genesis chapter 1, gets us started right off in our Bibles, letting us know of how magnificent God's power is. He speaks all of this into existence through the power of His Word. God made this. And God is the best giver that anyone could imagine. God's the greatest gift giver who's ever given gifts. I kind of got this bad rap in my family of not being a very good gift giver. We used to draw names with the whole family, the big old family, the extended family. We used to draw names to see who would get gifts for whom, because we didn't buy gifts for everybody, because we had kids who had long list of demands. And so us adults, we would just kind of, you know, divvy it up. One would buy for somebody else, and everyone would get a little something. That's the way we used to do it. Now we've called that off altogether. But when I would draw someone's name, you know, after we would draw from the stock, you know, whose name did you get? Whose name did you get? And every year, the person who got my name was like, "Oh, man. You know, Dustin's going to be buying my gift." And then Julie would step in. She would say, "You just tell me what you want, and we'll make it work out. You know, I'll do Dustin's gift-giving job for him." Because, you know, I got this bad reputation for not being a very good gift giver already. It's not even Christmas yet. I haven't even given a single gift. And my family is telling me how bad the presents are going to be that I buy this year. Almost makes a fella just decide, "Hey, I won't buy any gifts. If you don't think you're going to like the gifts that I get, check out a big nothing that's under the tree for you." I won't do that because I'm I'm a gift giver. And so is God. God is a gift giver, and God gives the best gifts. God is the best gift giver who has ever given gifts, and he gives us his very best. We've seen that God owns everything, right? And so when it comes to God giving to us, God's not scrimping. God's not giving us stuff that is on the lower tier of gift giving. Sometimes when we would draw those names and give those gifts, we would set a limit. Okay, don't spend any more than $25 on somebody. You know, we didn't want this thing to get out of hand. So we would set limits. When God gives to us, he doesn't set limits. God gave us the very best that he had. John 3:16 very famously declares that God so loved the world that he gave. God is a loving, cheerful gift giver, and he gives us his very best. He gave us his son, the best that could be given was given to us by God. God, as this wonderful gift giver, guess what he does? Verse 5 continues, says that he gives. He's not stingy in any way. He is generous. He is not going to be a greedy God who only wants to get and get and get. That's one of the amazing contrasts between the God of the Bible and the God of the pagans. You can check this out down throughout history. Those who were idolatrous, those who made up their own gods, the Greek and Roman mythology, they had these gods who were very mean and angry, and the anger of these gods needed to be constantly appeased. These gods demanded gifts regularly from their people. These gods of the pagan world, these were not giving gods. These were not generous gods. But the God of the Bible, the Christian's God, our God this morning, is a very giving God. He has everything. There's nothing that we could give him that he doesn't already own. He owns this world, us, and everything in it. And with all of that accumulation of stuff, of wealth, God is willing to share it. He's willing to give it to us. That there was an epic conversation between Jesus and his enemies in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus lets them know that God is plenty capable of giving us good gifts. He talks to them about their gift-giving ways. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 11, Jesus says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So God plays the role, but it's not any acting involved. God is to us a parent, a father. And Jesus here is playing on the very common desire that parents have to give good things to their children. We might not always succeed in giving the best gift possible, but every parent, every right-thinking parent, I know there's dysfunction in this world, sadly, but every right-thinking parent wants to provide good things for his children. And that is, you know, a commonality of life. I mean, that's just the way it is. When things are, again, working properly, there is dysfunction. Of course, we're setting that aside for purposes of our discussion. A good, loving parent wants to give generously as possible to his child. There are means that other folks have that we might not have. We likely can't keep up with all the Joneses and give the best things that somebody else with much more money can give to their children. We might not be able to do all of that, But we want to, universally, we want to give the best we can to our children. Jesus plays to that fact in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 11. And he says, God, if you kind of zoom out of this analogy that Jesus' words are painting here, God is our Father, and he has the same desire to give generously to us, and he wants to see us happy with the things that he gives us. And so if we have that motivation, you know, in life to give generously, to give good things to our children, how much more can we expect to receive these great blessings from God? These blessings that God gives us are not all physical. As a matter of fact, in this New Testament Christian age that we all live in, these blessings that God gives us are predominantly spiritual. We have, in this Christian age, unparalleled access to God. It's fascinating to stop and think about Adam and Eve in the beginning. How they could, the Bible paints this picture for us, and as you read Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you get this overwhelming sense of communion, fellowship, closeness between man and his God. The Bible lets us know that God would often present himself to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve could communicate with God directly. And after sin stepped in, everything changed. And through the systems of the Old Testament world, patriarchy, and then Mosaic, there was a bit of distance between man and his God. Under the patriarchal age, God would not speak to everybody. Under the patriarchal age, God would speak to the heads of the families, and that family head would disseminate all the information from God downstream to his family. Under the Mosaic system, there was, as you well recall, an elaborate priestly system where man could not directly approach God, but under that Mosaic system, he had to find a priest who would go and offer sacrifices to God on his behalf. Now, under this Christian age, this third and final Christian age that we live under presently, we approach God directly. We've done it today more than once when we bow our heads to go to God in prayer. We have now as close to what Adam and Eve had then as we can get here on earth. And one day, we will have it in a pure way in heaven. That's when things will be just like they were in the Garden of Eden. But we have spiritual blessings today. Prayer, salvation, God's providential care for us. We might not have everything that we want in this life, but God has promised us over and over and over again that we will have everything that we need. God gives to all. Number three, there's a next stop in this verse. God gives to everybody. We've talked about the very special relationship that God has with his people. God has a very special relationship with those who have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized. They are God's children. God is to them a special father. But God gives to everybody. God gives breath and air to the people who are cursing him this morning. Jesus, in Matthew 5:45, famously recalls how the sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. Rain falls on good folks and bad folks all the same. Nobody is completely away from God's blessing. God gives to everybody, whether they know it or not, whether they acknowledge him or not. God is so good at giving gifts that he gives even to people who blaspheme him and curse him and live for themselves instead of living for him. God gives to all. Don't ever let that escape your thinking. God is not partial in these gifts that he gives. In fact, the New Testament declares, half a dozen times, I think it is, or so, that there is no respect of persons with God. We're not being blessed by God because we're doing something to get these blessings. We're being blessed by God because God, in his nature, is a God who wants to give. It's what good gift givers do. They give gifts, and they give gifts to all. Another stop in this verse, James chapter 1, verse 5. God gives to all, next key word, liberally. We've mentioned before how everything is at God's disposal. He made it all. He controls it all. One of these days, he's going to stop it all when Jesus is sent back from heaven to this world again to judge the world, to destroy the world. 2 Peter 3 lets us know. So God has everything, and he has not kept back anything from us. God is in heaven, where he's always been. Heaven. Jesus left heaven when he didn't have to. He left heaven to come to this world. Why? So that we could have that chance of going to heaven. We get to be exactly where God is. We get to be exactly where God is. God is granting us full access. I don't want just everybody sleeping in my bed. You know what I mean? Addie sleeps in there a whole bunch. But, you know, I want to sleep in my bed. I don't want just anybody. You know, if I went home today after church and found somebody sleeping in my bed, I would think, this is not the way it's supposed to be, you know. There are some off-limits places to folks. Not with God. God says you can come right in and be where I am. And not only that, he wants us to be there. God is such a generous, liberal. We hear the word liberal, and a lot of times our first instinct is to think, that's bad. Well, on the theological spectrum, it is not good to be liberal, just like it's not good to be radical. But when we talk about this word, separated from that connotation, it simply means free. It means generous. Now, on the theological spectrum, there are some folks who are overly generous when it comes to keeping the word that God has said. You know, they are loosing where God has not loosed. They are saying, hey, you can be an elder if you want to be an elder. We don't have to pay attention to these qualifications here. You can be a member of this church if you want to be a member of this church. We don't have to worry about baptism or anything like that. That is a liberal application of God's word, and that's not good. But at its base, God is being described as a liberal giver, a giver who is so generous that it boggles the mind. A giver who provides for us more than what we deserve. And again, I have to pump the brakes here and let us know I'm not talking about the things, the gadgets, the material blessings. I'm not talking about that, because in this area, a lot of us come up short. We don't have the greatest and best. We don't drive the most expensive car. We don't live in the most expensive house. We don't have the most expensive cell phone. We don't vacation at the most expensive vacation spots. So when I talk about God giving to us, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that's better than that. Because one of these days, all of that, the expensive homes, the expensive cars, the expensive vacation spots, all of the new technology, all of that is going to, well, it's going to burn. It's going to be destroyed. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10 lets us know this world and everything in it is going to be destroyed. And so if all you've got to your name is that kind of stuff, when Jesus comes again, it won't be worth anything. But when Jesus comes again, he has given us something better than all of that. He has given us a life that is beyond all of that. God gives to all liberally, next and final stop, and he does not upbraid. That's a neat King James word, upbraid. You remember Jesus' very famous words in Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. That's the same word here, upbraid. Jesus, God, they do not hold it against us when we ask for things. When I was little, we would go into stores, and a whole bunch when I was little, I was told, don't ask for anything. My mom and dad did not want me asking for anything. They would tell me in the parking lot, walking into the store, you're not getting anything, don't even ask. And there have been a few times I've told my kids that. They have not heard it nearly as much as I heard it when I was a kid. But there are a few times when we say, listen, don't ask for anything. Or you've gotten enough. Have you ever told your kids that? You've gotten enough. We paid for this. We got you that. We signed you up for this. This is coming around the corner. And we hadn't even started paying for that yet, but it's coming. And then this summer, we've got a whole bunch of things coming. You've gotten enough. God never says to us, you've gotten enough. God never says to us, you can look but you can't touch. God never says to us, don't even ask for anything else. God is willing to give us and to hear us as often as we come to him. He invites us to cast all of our cares before him because he cares for us, 1 Peter 5:7. So anything in our heart, anything on our mind, anything on our plate, God is right there next to us saying, I'm willing to help you with that. And I'll help you with that too. And I know I just helped you out with that, but I'll help you out with that again. And I know you just asked for this, but if you ask for it again, I'll be right there to help and answer that prayer again. Because God loves us that much. This morning, how much do you love God? We've seen a tiny picture from James 1:5 of how much he loves us. How about a picture of how much you love him? And what you are willing to give to him. Are you willing to give your life over to the Lord? That's what he asks. And it may sound like a lot, but when you really stop and think about it, it's the least we can give. This morning, if you need to and are ready to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, it would be our honor, our duty to help you out this morning. We would love to do that. If you are already a member of the Lord's church, God bless you for that decision. Make sure that you're being as faithful to Him as you possibly can be. And if you need to repent of sin or ask for prayers, we're here to help right now while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.